It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Welcome into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America Selection Sunday edition. Seth Campbell joined by Scotty Bordelon. Two things. Obviously, first, we sound slightly different. We are doing this one over Zoom. There's a lot of stuff going on this Sunday, so we wanted to get some information out there to y'all about Colgate, but it just didn't necessarily work out that Scotty and I could get in the same room together, so that's why this is via Zoom. Number one. And then number two, I owe every single one of you an apology. During the last podcast, I said that you would join the BPMA tournament challenge on ESPN, and you could join in with Scotty and I, make a bracket. We might have a prize for you. Well, it turns out that when I was making that bracket, I was signed in on somebody else's ESPN account. And I figured out why.
There
was somebody. What, Scotty?
You're a hacker.
Yeah, well, I used somebody's, with permission, but I used somebody's account to watch something on ESPN Plus is what had happened there, because I do not have ESPN Plus.
And, see what that happened was.
So, yeah, that's exactly what happened. So what has happened is ESPN will not let you delete a group. I do not know why they won't let you delete a group, but they will not let you delete a group. So what I did is there was about five or so people in there, so I locked that group. Put a password on it, and then I kicked everybody that was in there out. So there's nobody in that group anymore. And then if you just search BPMA again, there is another group that has over 10 people in it that I've seen, and it is called WHS, which stands for Whole Hog Sports Basketball Podcast in Mid-America. So it's WHS BPMA. We will try and include a link to that in the SoundCloud. But all of that housekeeping out of the way, Scotty and I are excited. It was one of the best days of the year in Selection Sunday. And then when that Thursday and Friday come, although that's going to be moved now to Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But those are like the two best sports days in all of sports, really. But Arkansas gets the three seed. They're going to be matched up against Colgate. Just first off, Scotty, general reactions from this matchup between Colgate and Arkansas.
I think I'll just go to the reaction from Arkansas's players and their coaching staff and some of their team personnel. They were watching the selection show from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in one of the suites. There's like six or seven teams there, all kind of, you know, just waiting to see their name come out. And that was that reaction from them was so genuine, because there's so many dudes on this Arkansas roster who this is going to be their first trip to the NCAA tournament. Like, I think Jalen Tate's been to the tournament, but he hasn't played in it because of injuries and whatnot. Justin Smith, kind of the same way. You know, obviously they didn't play in it last year, and you know, Arkansas played Indiana and NIT the year before that, and I'm not sure what happened to Indiana the year before in Justin's first year, but he's saying that, you know, this is his first tournament. He's super excited about it. Desi Sills, his first tournament too. You could not wipe the smile off that kid's face when he was talking to us just a little bit ago. He's excited to, you know, to be playing in the postseason. You know, it's win or go home at this point. He's, you know, he was smiling ear to ear, and he's pumped to be putting on for Arkansas. Reaction from, you know, just hearing that Colgate was going to be Arkansas's draw. Like, I think it's a matchup that favors Arkansas, but Colgate's going to make it tough. Like, they're a team that, you know, Eric Musselman said is very analytically minded, and you probably know that if you listened to our interview with Simon Gersberg earlier in the season.
Right.
They shoot a lot of threes. I think they score. So they're number three in the country in three-point shooting percentage. And I was just looking at KenPom. They're the second-best three-point shooting team in the tournament field, only behind Baylor. So keep an eye out for that. Jordan Burns is a guy to watch for Colgate. He averages 17 a game. They've got some other good pieces. I think they've got six guys averaging eight or more points a game. So they're going to be tough. really good three-point field goal defense. I think it's best in the country too. So we'll just have to see, you know, what kind of – I think it's going to be an up-and-down game. I think both of these teams really want to get up and down. And I think Seth Davis said the first team to 100 wins. And so that's the kind of ball game that I want to watch.
It's going to be entertaining for sure. There is a spoiler alert in there. I don't know. Scotty mentioned it a little bit. Simon Gersberg, if you're a BPMA diehard, then you know that Scotty and I interviewed Simon earlier in the season. That was probably right around the turn of the year, wasn't it, Scotty?
Yeah, I think it was right around when Arkansas got its season turned around too. You know, Eric Musselman was talking tons about Arkansas shot selection and their decision-making on the offensive end. And Simon founded a site called shotquality.com, and it's so insightful. Just gives you all kinds of, you know, real insightful data on what you're seeing in terms of, you know, Arkansas's players, what kind of shots they're taking, what they're good at, what they're not good at, what their percentage of good possessions is, bad possessions is. And he does that for every team in the country. And so we wanted to talk to him, and I'll let you go ahead and make that little announcement. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So he is actually a part of the staff that works with the Colgate basketball team. So that's going to be a really fun. We are going to get him on this week to talk a little bit about the Arkansas Razorbacks and the Colgate Raiders, which I'm going to be honest, I did not know that Colgate's mascot was the Raiders until today.
I didn't either. Cool. That's what my high school mascot is.
But all of that to say, that'll be a fun interview. We'll get to dive in depth about, you know, a team that we know really well and a team that Simon watched every single game of this year. Just a few things like to hit on, Scotty. First, when you look at their record of the Colgate, they are 14-1 on the year. They have won 13 straight. But when you actually dive in and look at their record, they've only played five different teams. No, I think it ends up being six once they get into the conference tournament. But that's not a lot. Six different teams in 12 games against them.
Yeah. They've only played six teams. So other 15 games, they played only six different teams. They played Holy Cross four straight times, and they played Boston University four times, played Army four times. And so I'm going to be curious to see just how that group kind of reacts to seeing someone outside their own league, because they played a conference only schedule and they didn't start playing until January 2nd. And so Arkansas's obviously they've got a lot more miles on their legs, and Colgate probably pretty fresh, if I had to imagine, but their schedule sets up pretty interestingly. It's like every weekend they played a back-to-back. So they opened the season on a Saturday against Army. The next day they played Army again. So their season opener is pretty interesting. So they beat Army 101-57 on Saturday. On Sunday, they lost 75-73. And so that's college basketball in a nutshell right there, I think. But that was their only loss of the year, and they've reeled off 13 straight since, and should be a pretty fun game. I'm interested in learning more about Colgate, because I think we know Jordan Burns is their top guy, but a team that's 14-1 and ran through their league, you know, pretty easily. It seems like, you know, they've got other pieces. I'm curious to see learn about who those other pieces are, what those dudes do well.
Yeah, for sure. Other things that just kind of strike me about the schedule, like you said, they play back to backs, but then once they got into the conference tournament, Scotty, they played on March the 6th on a Saturday in the first round, or technically the quarterfinals, they got a bye. And right. they didn't play again until Wednesday. So they went from Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday. So they had multiple days off in their Patriot League tournament, which is just kind of interesting.
Yeah, eight days between their first game and their finals game. They really put it on Bucknell, beat them by 30 in the semifinals.
Yeah, they beat Boston 77-69 in the quarterfinals, as you said, beat Bucknell 105-75, and then beat Loyola 85-72 in the Patriot League championship game. They draw Arkansas. As you said, it seems like a lot of things go through Jordan Burns. He was the Patriot League player of the year, and he can score it. And they like to shoot beyond the arc, Scotty.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, Jordan Burns is going to be at the top of Arkansas' scouting report. And Eric Musselman said that they've already kind of got like the shell of a scouting report. He had the – so he credited Anthony Ruda, who's Arkansas' director of basketball operations, for really, you know, just kind of breaking down who Arkansas might draw in this tournament. And one of the teams that he – I think he came up with three different possibilities, and Colgate was one of them. So they've got kind of the nuts and bolts of their scouting report for Colgate already. And that was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes after the announcement came. So they're already on top of things. They know that Colgate's really analytically minded, you know, wanting to shoot threes and layups, kind of like Alabama, but maybe on a mid-major scale. But Jordan Burns he's the guy to keep an eye on. And he not only scores a lot, he's averaging 5.5 assists a game. He's the program's all-time leading assist guy. And so you've got to really account for him anytime he's got the ball in his hands, and really, you know, be able to recognize defensively wherever he is. He's sixth in program history in scoring, fifth in three-pointers made, ninth in steals. And there was a game when Colgate beat Holy Cross at the end of January. He scored all 13 of the team's points in overtime. So that's a guy that it sounds to me like he's not going to be, you know, afraid of the moment at all if, you know, if there's a tight ball game. But yeah, Colgate's going to put up some threes, and they've got some guys that can really stroke it. So Arkansas's perimeter defense is going to be put to the test immediately.
The noise you hear in the background is me printing a March Madness bracket as we speak. I was trying to see Scotty just go a little bit longer, but I got one more, so I apologize for that. But what I wanted to say is, I wonder if Eric Musselman can bring in some bricks and have his team hold those during the practices to defend the three.
A good way to go, because it's not just Burns too. Like, I don't want to like overload fans with information and stuff, but like, these are names that you need to know going into Friday. And by the way, we know the game is on Friday, but we don't have a tip-off time or a venue yet as of recording this. So that will be coming pretty soon. But Jack Ferguson is a guy to keep an eye out for. He's shooting 50.7% from three. Tucker Richardson, nearly 38%. And Nelly Cummings, I think he was a second team All-Patriot League performer. He's shooting 37% from three. And all of those guys have taken at least 65 threes this year. So it's not like a Herb Jones situation where he's shooting 45%, but he only took like 40 for the season. It's not one of those deals. Those guys are, I think they're good shooters, and they also have, you know, enough awareness to take really good looks from deep.
So there's a lot that we can get into. We'll probably dive a little bit deeper on our normal podcast later on, but I feel like that gives the fans just a taste of what to expect just from Colgate in general. Looking at the matchup and kind of Arkansas's quad, if you will, they also get Texas Tech and Utah State. That is not a bad matchup either way for the Razorbacks if they get either one of those teams, just looking at it a little bit deeper. If Arkansas can win, Colgate is going to be a tough challenge, no doubt about it. But if Arkansas can win, Texas Tech matches up decently well, whereas Connor Vanover may not be used in a game against Colgate because they like to run up and down the court. Yep. Texas Tech, that could be a game where Vanover plays over half the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that slower-paced game would definitely favor him a little bit. At the same time, you know, Arkansas is going to have Jalen Williams back, mm-hmm. and Arkansas could go – you know, put two forwards on the floor, but one of them not be Connor Vanover. Like, they could go with Justin Smith and Jalen Williams, perhaps, you know, if Jalen's got his legs up back underneath him again. Something else that I think is interesting with that Utah State game, Utah State, Texas Tech, you know, Texas Tech is a good, really, really good defensive team, but they can struggle to score at times. And I think that's part of the reason why they're 6-8 and that they're not, you know, a little bit higher on their seed line. but Utah State is a program that Eric Musselman's got a lot of familiarity with. Like, I'm sure that he's you know, kind of got some feelers out already, or kind of has some knowledge already on some of the guys on that Utah State roster. You know, he's playing in the Mountain West Conference, so that could be really interesting. But all he's worried about right now is Colgate. And I mean, and they're gonna put up a fight. But yeah, I think Arkansas's path to a potential Sweet 16 berth, I mean, I think they got a really, really favorable draw here. I mean, just Texas Tech's defense is good, but they're kind of one of those teams that you like them on one end of the floor. If they could ever figure out the second end, or the other end of the floor, they could be really dangerous. But I like Arkansas. I like Arkansas's path to the Sweet 16. It's about time that they get there.
Yeah, I think that's the goal for this team now. Going into the season, I think that making the NCAA tournament was a goal that they was appropriate for this team. But now, when you're in the tournament as a three seed, I think making the Sweet 16 is important. Just some general thoughts from the bracket, Scotty. What did you think, you know, about seeding? Did you think anybody got kind of, you know, a lower seed than you thought they would have? And then this is not the Final Four that I'm going to hold you to later, but if you had to pick a Final Four right now, who would you go with?
That's a good question. I haven't even filled out a bracket yet, but I will tell you this. I'm riding Illinois until the wheels fall off. Mm. That team is really, really fun. Like, they've got two stars with Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn, but they're not a number one seed just because of those two guys. Like, they are tough top to bottom. So Illinois is a team that I really like a lot. And let's see, Texas. Texas got a really tough draw in the first round. Texas is a three seed like Arkansas, but they're matched up with Abilene Christian. I don't know if you – do you remember the Arkansas-Abilene Christian game?
Was that the game – that was the game that Musselman wasn't coaching.
Right, right. I think that's a bad matchup for Texas. Or I don't know if it's a bad matchup, but it's major upset alert for me. And I think I might take Abilene Christian in that game. Their guards are small, but they are relentless on the defensive end. They're going to give Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones, some of those guys for in the backcourt for Texas, they're going to give them problems all game long. Those guys just, they never quit defensively. And I think they've got enough up front, maybe not to match up with Jericho Sims, who he's a monster. He basically, he dominated the Big 12 tournament from what I saw. Let's see what else. So Ohio State's really, really good. And, you know, they fought tooth and nail with Illinois. They're a two seed in Arkansas's bottom half of the bracket. That would be an unbelievable game, you know, possibly in the Sweet 16 to possibly look forward to. That would be crazy fun. Let's see. Baylor's a one in Arkansas side of the bracket. That's tough. But let's see. Reggie Chaney, I think not to go back, not to bring up old stuff, but Reggie Chaney is, you know, playing well for Houston. I think right now Houston's a two seed. And so I think the transfer of Reggie Chaney just kind of worked out for both sides. Not that I don't think Reggie could have contributed for Arkansas if he had stayed, but, you know, Houston's a two, Arkansas's a three. I mean, that it worked out for both sides, you know, to be completely honest. Let's see if anything else stands out. LSU is an eight seed is dangerous. I think they're really dangerous. Like, you get those guys on a neutral floor, say what you will about LSU and Will Wade and, you know, his players yapping at Arkansas after they beat Arkansas and then getting into another altercation with Alabama before the championship game started. So you had two altercations like before you even played on Sunday. LSU's dangerous because they can score better than just about anyone in the country. The thing is, can they lock in defensively? But LSU as an eight seed is really dangerous. Like, they're, if they beat St. Bonaventure's in their first round game, they're going to push Michigan a lot. And I don't know if – I know Michigan's played a lot of really, really, really good teams in the Big Ten, but LSU is an explosive of an offense as you're going to find in the country.
I like LSU at times, and then I hate LSU at other times. It's just, yeah, I mean, just like Tennessee. Yeah. Tennessee is another one of those teams that, I mean, if they got all of their stuff together, could make a run to the Final Four. But also, they play Oregon State in the first round, which is a surprise team that won the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, we don't know if they're going to have John Fulkerson either.
Yeah, with Fulkerson and with his gigantic eye that he
– yeah, like a concussion and a facial fracture. Like, that's not – that's really tough. That's really tough. Tennessee's a strong five because they can defend their tails off. It's just, you know, can those freshmen get going offensively? Can you knock down enough of those – million mid-range jumpers that they like to take? Like, that's kind of what it comes down to for Tennessee, but they're good. I like them a lot better with Fulkerson.
So here's some stats for you. I know that you like to be analytically motivated, Scotty, and so I assume our listeners do too. In 30 of the past 35 tournaments, one number three or number four has lost in the round of 64. So if you're filling out a bracket in 30 out of the last 35, a three seed or a four seed, a three seed or a four seed has lost in the round of 64. And then also, if you put it into it, everybody makes a big deal out of the 12 versus five matchup, which I think a big one this year that I would pinpoint Villanova Winthrop as a 5 versus 12 potential upset. But the 6 versus 11 is actually a really prominent one too, that you might want to watch out for. Let's see. This says the combined record of number 10, number 11, and number 12 seeds. That's in the round of 32. Sorry, I got lost. Number 11 seeds are 52-88 against 6 seeds. That's not awful. But just something to look out for, something to keep your mind out. I've never been a huge fan of teams that make runs in the conference tournament, in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Like Georgetown, that's a 12, and Oregon State, that's a 12.
Right.
That's my personal opinion. I don't know that I have anything to back that up with. But did you list your Final Four?
No, I don't think I did. I was writing – while you were talking just a second ago, I was writing down – the seeds of the teams that Arkansas lost to. I think that's important, right? Yeah. So Alabama is a 2 seed. That's not a surprise. I was a little bit surprised to see Oklahoma State at a 4 seed after they made the Big 12 tournament, but they're a 4. Tennessee is a 5, and then LSU and Missouri are 8 and 9. So Arkansas did not lose to a single – bad team all season. Wow. I mean, they won basically every game that they were supposed to. I mean, on a neutral floor, you probably give Arkansas, you know, maybe 6 or 7 times out of 10, you think Arkansas, at least I would think that 6 or 7 times out of 10, Arkansas would beat LSU on a neutral floor. So maybe that was the one game in the SEC tournament they were, you know, I don't know if you can even say supposed to win, but I maybe think so. Maybe that's the game that they lost that they weren't supposed to. But all the other ones, if I'm leaving somebody out, let me know. But I think that's it.
It's Tennessee, Missouri.
Lost to Tennessee once, Oklahoma State, Alabama once, LSU twice, and Missouri. That's it. Yeah. So Arkansas didn't – all of their losses are to teams who are ranked – 2 through 9 on the seed line, and none of their losses came to teams that didn't make the tournament. That's a hell of a year.
Yeah, that's a fantastic year. Then that's why you have a 3 beside your name.
Also, Arkansas has wins over 4 teams that won their conference tournament title. Like, was it North Texas, Abilene Christian, and Oral Roberts?
And then obviously,
you have a win over Alabama.
Well, Roberts being a 15, I guess, kind of surprised me a little bit. Did you know that they have one of the top points per game scorers in the
country? Oh, Max Abmas is a problem. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's good. Him and Kevin O'Banner, they're going to give – who's their first-round matchup?
Ohio State.
See, if it was like anybody else other than a Big Ten team, I might, you know, I might put that team on upset alert, but Ohio State's too good. But Obanor and Abmas are going to give Ohio State some fits for a little bit at least.
Yeah, if they were playing, I mean, Iowa's a tough draw too, but if they were playing Alabama or Houston, which are the other two seeds, they could possibly be on upset alert. There's some teams in here, you know, as always, you always think that you have everything figured out, then you don't. So
I like Oklahoma State a lot. Just another battle tested Big 12 team. And I don't know that I expected them to make the Big 12 title game, but they beat some good teams. Like they beat Baylor to get there. I mean, you beat Baylor on a neutral floor. Like that's as good of a win as you can have. And I mean, that's a team that's been either one or two pretty much all season. I probably said this already, but I'm riding Illinois until the wheels fall off. I like those dudes a lot.
Yeah, it's hard because you look at it and you're probably thinking Gonzaga, Baylor, Illinois. And so you got to pick somebody. I'm not going to go with a one all the way.
Do you like the Oklahoma State Missouri game? A little Big 12 throwback?
Yes, Oklahoma, Missouri.
It was a super interesting 8-9.
I would just stay away from Missouri with all of my being. They're just like this team that could.
Oklahoma State's struggling, man. Like a couple of weeks ago, people were talking about them as a potential two seed, and now they're, you know, they're in the 8-9 game now.
Yeah, they're 16-9.
Still dangerous.
It is. Scotty, there is no question that this is the most fun time of the year for a sports fan.
Yeah, no joke.
All right. You got anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. My final four, just off the top, man, that's tough. I like Baylor, Gonzaga. I might go with Alabama out of the East.
Uh-huh.
And then Illinois out of the Midwest.
I think you got to go Gonzaga all the way. I like Illinois too, but I don't know if they're going to make it or not. But I just don't – I think they're one of their bracket is one of the most favorable. Houston as a two seed doesn't scare me. They're not big, I think, is Houston's problem. And it's like size-wise. And then Illinois has I just watched the Big Ten title game today, but I can't remember his name. Kofi.
Oh, Kofi Coburn, yeah.
Down low.
He gets bigger every possession of the game.
He could be a – and he would be a problem. For Houston.
One other game that I really like is Loyola Chicago and Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's really hot.
Okay. Right now,
and Loyola Chicago's got one of the better players in the country that's kind of underrated. Check him out on KenPom. He can really stroke it. He's really good. I can't remember his name, which should say something maybe.
So don't hold me to this because it can change, but I'm going to go Gonzaga, Ohio State, Illinois, Michigan, right?
Yeah, so Cameron Krutwig is the guy from Loyola Chicago. He is a 6'9 problem. He's not taking a three all year, shooting almost 60% side of the arc. Major problem. He's good.
Gotcha.
That 8-9 game will be fun.
Well, as we said earlier, two things. Arkansas does not know when they will play on Friday, but they do know that they will play on Friday this year. Just a public service announcement. It is Friday, Saturday is the first round, and then Sunday, Monday is the second round. I don't like it, but, I mean, they didn't consult me, so whatever.
I've got one more thing. So the NIT bracket's out.
Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss made it. Ole Miss is a one seed, and that is the – only, well, Mississippi State made it. So the two Mississippi schools are in the NIT. There is no Kentucky anywhere to be found.
But it is
wild to imagine a postseason without Kentucky. But, buddy, we have made it to that point.
To be fair, it's only a 16-team tournament, too.
Right, right. And I don't think anyone wants to really touch a sub-500 team with a 10-foot pole for their tournament, especially with the NIT.
The NIT
that's a fairly respectable postseason tournament. You know what I mean? Like, it's the best of the best that get left out of the tournament.
Right. It's not like the CBI or the there's another one even, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah. Another, exactly that tournament. And then the NIT, just a quick footnote, they're bringing back the third place game.
See that. Giving you guys another chance to play, I guess. I kind of dig it.
Anyway, all right. Arkansas, Colgate, Friday. As I mentioned on the last podcast, I hope they play early. But a 3 versus 14, you know, normally the early games are like those 8-9s. So I don't know. I necessarily know if a 3 versus 14, they'll probably save that till right around prime time. Join our bracket tall or our bracket group, ESPN Bracket Challenge. Search WHSBPMA, which stands for Whole Hog Sports Basketball Podcast in America. Again, that is WHSBPMA. I will put the link where you can join in the description of this podcast. Join there, and as I said, Scotty and I might have a prize for you.
Working on it actively.
All right. Well,
one other note before we go.
Yeah.
Arkansas's got more than 4 days of rest again before their first tournament game. Arkansas. So Eric Musselman's 9-2 in his career on a neutral floor with 4+ days of rest or 4+ days to prep. So
one of those losses came in like 3-4,
correct? Correct. Yeah, that was his last game in Nevada.
Good stuff. All right. Well, for Scotty Borderline, I am Seth Campbell. Check out wholehogsports.com for more basketball information. We're just getting started. Also, check back later this week. We're going to have a loaded basketball podcast in America for you, getting you ready for Friday. We should have more information, more interviews, stuff like that. So just stick with us. But we thank you for joining us here on this Selection Sunday. Well, for Scotty Borderline, as I said, I'm Seth Campbell, and we will see you later this week.